Hello and welcome to the monthly advisor session for the Advisor Pack Monthly Program. This is Mark Little. Each and every month we get together to answer questions that you've submitted since the previous month and to go over whatever questions you have live as we go through the session. Just last week, I gave a talk at Bill Bachrach's dojo. And I am sending out the recording of that talk, so I'm not going to cover it thoroughly here. But interestingly enough, a question came up at the end of that session that I decided to cover today. Now, just to give you a sense of what I spoke about so that when I send out the recording, you'll know what the issue was. I was asked to talk about what were the steps that I went through to reset the last time we went through a big market decline. Okay, so we're going through something in the markets right now. We've got lots of issues going on with world events. There's plenty in the news to keep clients nervous. And so I went through this actually three times in my career. We had the year I got licensed in this industry, we had the largest stock market crash since 1929, the year I got licensed. So I dealt with it then. And then, of course, the global financial crisis in 2008. Many of you were around for that. But I think by far the biggest that I've dealt with in my career was the combination of what we now call Y2K, followed by 9/11, followed by a three-year recession. That was the biggest challenge in my career. So what did I do? We keep hearing coming out of the pandemic that we're in a reset. Well, I followed a three-step process. After I realized that we were in a major decline, each and every time I resolved, you know, what am I going to do in my business? So I think the question you need to ask yourself is, what standard of client service do you really want to provide? And if you're in this program, that is the answer to the question. You have resolved to create a client standard that is the best that you can provide. In other words, to exceed client expectations. In this program, you have resolved to provide extraordinary client service that cannot be provided by other advisors. And so, the objective of this program is to radically, not just slightly, but to radically differentiate yourself from every other advisor out there and to provide service at such a level that when potential clients hear about what you do, they will fire their advisor and they will hire you. That's exactly what happened to me during the biggest decline in my career, which was Y2K followed by 9/11, followed by three-year recession. So I resolved, I'm going to provide extraordinary client service. Then you execute. Well, this is where most businesses fail. You read this all the time. You know, what happens when a business fails? Well, they fail to execute. That's what happens. And so what is it that they fail to execute? Well, the execution phase in your business is developing systems, processes, and people to deliver the business model that you've decided upon, which is extraordinary client service. So resolve, execute, and then the third level of this formula, the third thing, the step to this formula is probably the most overlooked piece, and that is the leadership that's required to hold everyone accountable to your standard and your vision. So you set a vision of extraordinary client service. You've created systems, processes, and people to deliver on that vision, and you're going to provide leadership to hold everyone accountable to that standard. Okay, so now that you know what the talk was about, when I send out the video, you can, if you weren't at Bill Bachrach's dojo, you can watch my talk on this, because I gave a ton of implementable action steps. One of the things that I always appreciate when I've attended conferences in the past is when the speakers, you know, the experts that are up on stage, I want them to give me lots of implementable ideas. So when you get the email with the recording of my session, I'd watch it if I were you. It has tons of action items that you can implement just to pull all this together. But there was a question at the end of the dojo that I thought was worth going through and spending a little more time on, and that's what I'm going to do today. Now, interestingly enough, the question I took, there was Q&A after my talk, and I took a bunch of questions, but the question that I chose, and I think the best question was actually asked by Bill Bachrach directly. He said, "Mark, what are, after going through all of these steps and, you know, resolve and execute and commit to increasing your own leadership skills, well, what are the specific next few steps that I should take to get this service model up and running that's going to consistently exceed client expectations?" Okay, so that's what I wanted to go through. So what are the actual first few steps? In this program, you're getting a project from me every single month. So in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, you get a project to work on. They're sent out in sequence. So I simply went back in my own experience and thought, okay, how did I pull all this together? And how did I create the other flagship program of mine, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is a more robust program? It's actually software. So, you know, how did I put all of this together? Well, I created the Advisor Pack Monthly program so that for advisors who aren't ready for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, or they're not, let's say you're not at that point, you don't have a ton of ideal clients and you're not adding new ideal clients every month. So I was requested to put together a program covering all the same topics, but put together more in a way that an advisor could put all this together for themselves. Okay, so for this program, I am giving you projects. I'm giving you every step needed to put all this together. What I thought was interesting and what got me thinking about Bill's question is, what are the first few steps? Like, what are the first little steps out of the gate? What, you know, it never is too late to think about, you know, am I implementing this in sequence? And just to check yourself, have you got these things in place? Because if not, you know, that's the goal of today's session. So the starting point for all of this is, you know, what are the first few steps? Well, the first few steps are to get your team in place. All right. So in our model, what makes our model different is, rather than expecting that the client is going to put together their own team, which is what our industry kind of standard is, ideal client. Yeah, your typical ideal client has financial people in their life. They have a tax accountant and they probably have their money parked somewhere, maybe at a private banking at their bank, or maybe they've got some sort of a financial advisor or insurance agent. They might have a financial planner and have paid for a financial plan. That's possible. They typically have wills and trusts, so there's an estate planning attorney. And of course, all ideal clients have insurance agents. Well, what makes our model different is, rather than the client coordinating their own team, enter you as the trusted advisor. You are the single, simple point of contact for the client. You've got your own team. They've got a tax accountant. You've got a tax accountant. They've got insurance agents. You've got insurance agents and so forth. So what makes our model different is the client is out of the middle. Our team will first of all, create an overarching strategy for the client, something that almost never exists before you start working with the client. And our team will coordinate with their team. So the client doesn't have to. The client has one single simple point of contact. That's you as the most trusted advisor. And then they don't have to deal with their own team anymore. Your team will create the plan and then connect with the client's own team. So the client's accountant or the client's estate planning attorney, whatever, and will convey the plan that has been created, you know, the thing that we were hired to do, the gap that we were hired to fill. We will reach out to the client's financial people and clue them into the plan. We will read them in. Now they're aware of what the client's objectives are. Now they have there is a plan and a way to measure success. So we're able now that our plan is in place, there's a way to look the client in the eye and say, you know, whether they're on track or off track. Well, our job is to get them on track and keep them on track forever, and to coordinate with their financial people in their life to make sure that whenever they are making recommendations, that they come through us. And so that the recommendations that make it all the way to the client are perfectly aligned with the overarching financial strategy, which is now exists because of us. Okay, so that's what we're doing different. We're going to build our team. First step is to get your team in place. Well, okay, but where do we start with that? Well, you start with the administrative manager role. So that is step one. Step one is hire an effective administrative manager. But you're saying, wait a minute, I have an administrative assistant. Okay, check that one off. I'm done there. No, actually, you're probably not done. I will say that in my experience of doing this, and when I talk about doing this, I mean, not advising clients. I've been doing that for 40 years. When I say doing this, I mean, working with financial advisors like you. So over the last 20 years of working with financial advisors like you, in my experience, the administrative manager that you currently have in place is not the administrative manager that is what we're describing as an effective administrative manager. So what is it that we need them to do that maybe, you know, would be a challenge for your current administrative manager? Well, first and foremost, we need them to be responsible for filling all these subject matter expert vacancies. Wait a minute. That's not what my current administrative manager does. Well, what does your administrative manager do? And you stop and you think about this for a minute and you think, well, they pretty much, emphasis on the word administrative. They do administrative things like, you know, coordinate the files and help me prepare for meetings. And when I say prepare for meetings, I mean, just, you know, make sure all the packets are created. If I need PDF packets sent out to the client in advance because it's a Zoom meeting, you know, that's the kind of thing that my administrative manager takes care of. Oh, and by the way, my administrative manager also coordinates the calendar and schedules client progress meetings. Okay, fine. Well, when I say administrative manager, and I'm talking about an effective administrative manager, I am not emphasizing the word administrative in the title administrative manager. That's the difference. I am emphasizing the word manager. So when I say you need an effective administrative manager, I mean you need an effective manager. And a manager is somebody that's going to be in charge of filling the vacancies of each of these five subject matter experts that you're trying to get into place, and they will coordinate the SMEs. And then as far as all that other stuff that they do now, yes, I expect my effective administrative manager to have a prioritized action list, which is nothing more than a fancy name for a to-do list. But I expect my administrative manager to have a prioritized action list of all sorts of administrative duties that will keep this business running. But I think that if you're asking me, what is the main thing that is the difference between, you know, most administrative managers and what I'm calling an effective administrative manager, it's this ability to fill the subject matter expert vacancies. And oh, by the way, we have a module exclusively on this. So one of the modules that you'll receive in this program, and you might write this down, it's called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. Sometimes I call it the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process. Well, if you want to know the shortcut name for that module, it's filling SME vacancies. So that's what it is. So if the first thing you do is hire an effective administrative manager, even if you already have an administrative support person, if they're not willing to implement that module that we send to you called the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process, well, then I would say you don't have the right administrative manager. You don't have an effective administrative manager. And that's the first step. Fill that vacancy first. Okay, so why that one first? Why fill the administrative manager role first? Well, because step two is the administrative manager then, now that you have an effective AM in place, an administrative manager, the AM is responsible for filling all five subject matter experts with interim subject matter experts. Now, this is where I get questions on this quite a bit. So I know this is a point of confusion with most of you in this program, or if not most of you, a lot of you. I do get questions on this quite a bit. So what's the difference between filling vacancies on an interim basis and filling vacancies on a permanent basis? Well, we're going to get into that today. But the main thing for you to keep in mind is that your administrative manager is responsible for moving this project forward, and they're responsible for the deadline. And in our office, we give a two-week deadline. When we open an office and we need to fill all five SMEs, we give a deadline of 2 weeks. Sometimes we're able to fill all five in 1 week, but never more than 2 weeks. So I want you to stop and think about that for a minute, that when we're talking about your ability to accept ideal clients, charge ideal client fees, be able to create ideal client financial plans, you know, what we're talking about is having, what if 2 weeks from now you had a team of experts in place capable of saying yes to an ideal client? So let's say you're out there doing client acquisition activities, you're trying to acquire your next ideal client. And let's say you come across someone who is meets the ideal client profile. Well, I always get this question, Mark, what do I do first? Do I build my team or do I build, you know, would go out and find a client? Well, we recommend that the first time a client, as fast as you can find your first ideal client. So the first time you find a client that says, yes, I'd like to hire you as my trusted advisor, and they meet your ideal client profile, you should be able to accept that person on day one. And this is how. So what if 2 weeks from now you had a technically competent team in place, a tax accountant, a money management subject matter expert, a financial planning subject matter expert, an estate planning subject matter expert, and an insurance subject matter expert, otherwise known from the client perspective, this is an expert in risk and safety. So once we create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, well, we have an expert on our team whose job after the plan is created to create a backup plan, or in other words, a plan to increase the safety of the overarching strategy now that it exists. Okay. So it's somebody that's not just an expert in insurance. It's someone that's an expert at risk and safety and insurance. Okay. So what if 2 weeks from now you had this team in place and you had a client say, yes, I'd like to hire you. Well, this is how you're able to say yes, is if you came across a client today, I'm telling you, if you commit to this and you get, and the administrative manager is the key piece of this puzzle. If you get an administrative manager in place that will drive this effort, then a week or 2 weeks from now, you can have your interim team fully in place and you're able to say yes to clients. Okay, so what is the division of labor? What is it that we're asking this administrative manager to do when we're talking about filling SME vacancies? All right, so the two major roles for the administrative manager is, well, first and foremost, they're managing the project, which means they're responsible for the deadline. All right, so you're busy serving clients. You're out there busy finding the next ideal client and the next client. So you're busy doing other things. You're best used serving clients and going out and getting new clients. All right, so that means you need somebody who's managing everything else. And one of them is this major project of filling subject matter expert vacancies. Well, once you've seen the module that we've created, the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process, well, they're in charge of that 12-step process. And, you know, they now have a process that they can follow. And as long as they are capable of following a process and doing the work required to keeping the project on track, well, then that means you've got an effective administrative manager. And by the way, in this process, there is a week-by-week set of checklists. So it's easy for an administrative manager to be responsible for the deadline, because we have provided you in week one, all these checklists of things need to get done. Week two, all these checklists of things need to get done. Week three, and so forth. So all the checklists are there. But so the administrative manager is responsible for managing the project, and which means they're responsible for the deadline. And the second thing they are responsible for doing is going out and finding candidates. Okay, so this is where, right there, this is where most administrative support people, I don't know, fall to pieces. When you've got the right administrative manager, when they know how to go out and figure out where to find candidates for any position you're trying to fill. And more on that in a minute. I'm going to tell you exactly where to go to find candidates so that you can have your interim subject matter expert team in place a week or two from now. But once we have this outlined, like where do you go find candidates? And I'm saying they should know how to do that anyway. That's one of the criteria that you're hiring for. So, and this is probably what makes your current administrative manager not up to the task. But regardless, administrative manager is responsible for the deadline and for finding candidates. Okay. Then what does the advisor do? Well, you're going to be very, very busy in this project as well. It's just you're not driving the project, but you are involved. First of all, you're going to interview all the candidates. So if there's 20 candidates to fill five roles, then you're going to do 20 interviews. So it's not like it's not still time consuming. It's just that it's best if the administrative manager drives the process and then fills your calendar with all these interviews to interview these candidates that come up. And then, of course, the trusted advisor is going to make the final decision. So if I were to streamline it and try to explain what does the administrative manager do versus what does the advisor do, the administrative manager is behind the scenes. The trusted advisor does all the talking with all the candidates. All right. Makes final decision. So where do you find these interim subject matter expert candidates? Where would I find an interim tax expert? Where would I find an interim legal expert? Like, where would we find these candidates? Well, I'm saying once you have an administrative manager who was specifically hired because you're upgrading the position and you need someone that can primarily just make sure these vacancies are all filled, you know, that now becomes the key role. All that other administrative stuff they do for you, we just assume every administrative manager knows how to do all that stuff. That's a given. So where do we find these candidates? Well, won't surprise you, LinkedIn is one of the top sources that I've used in finding candidates. You want somebody that's a certified public accountant that's in your state. I'm sure you're aware you can search for certified public accountant. I would add the word tax and or tax planning to the search, but you can search for LinkedIn for geographic areas, local areas, and you can search for what they do. So LinkedIn is really an outstanding resource for finding both interim and permanent subject matter experts. But then beyond LinkedIn, which you're also going to use to fill the permanent SME vacancies, when you're talking about interim SME vacancies, we also put postings on the major job boards. So what is a job board? Job board is nothing more than a website that matches people that are trying to fill positions with people that are looking for positions. Okay, or are available. So now Upwork.com, it's a little different, but it focuses on freelancers. This is why you can often find subject matter experts on Upwork, is because people who are credentialed, like certified public accountants, tax experts, things like that, estate planning lawyers, you can often find freelance professionals on Upwork. Okay. So Upwork is a job board. Indeed is a job board. ZipRecruiter. We just kind of blast the field. We come up with a post for each of these positions, and then we just blast them in all of those places. And that's how we get candidates so quickly in the first 2 weeks. So what do? You create five job posts. Now, is there a sequence to this or what? Well, yes, there is a sequence to this because, frankly, not all subject matter experts are created equal. I would say the most important subject matter expert role to fill is the financial planner role. So you write job posts for a financial planner and then post it in, you know, Upwork, Indeed, search LinkedIn, Upwork, Indeed, ZipRecruiter. You could even put ads in Craigslist. We just basically create a post for that role and we roll it out. That's on day one. Day two, we focus on tax, because I'm just telling you right now, if a week from now you had a financial planning subject matter expert and a tax subject matter expert that are highly technically competent, you could create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that will knock your socks off. It puts a lot of pressure to create a plan with just two subject matter experts, at least the way we create financial plans in this program. And by the way, if you're new to this program and you're not sure exactly what I'm talking about when I say create a financial plan, we create a different type of plan than anywhere in the industry. And you can go back in the Advisor Pack monthly program, you can go back and look through past webinars, and I walk step by step through a financial plan that's worth more than $10,000, because that's what we recommend. If you come across somebody that wants to hire you, we recommend that you limit your new business to, number one, clients who meet your ideal client profile, or if they don't, if they, let's say they're a non-ideal client, if they're a non-ideal client and they don't fit your ideal client profile, or they can't afford to become an ideal client, I still recommend that you would say yes to them if they had enough money to pay you $10,000 to create what we call a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, otherwise known as a financial plan. So yes, we have a different type of financial plan, and it's way more involved than any client has ever seen. And yes, you could get started pulling off a plan like this with these two subject matter experts, financial planning and tax. Therefore, they're the two most important. I would say 40% of the value of the plan is invested in these two subject matter experts. So let's get them filled first. So on day one, we post for the financial planner. Day two, we post for the tax. We create a job post. We're looking for an extraordinary tax planning expert, a certified public accountant that has experience and skill creating tax plans, not just does tax preparation, and certainly not other forms of CPAs like audit, not other forms of accounting, tax. We're looking for an expert in tax. So we create that post, we put it in Upwork, Indeed, Job, ZipRecruiter, Craigslist, you know, we post that posting everywhere. Now, on day two, we have a lot of candidates coming in for the tax and the financial planner. Day three, on Wednesday, we create a post for the estate planning subject matter expert and get that posted. On Thursday, we post for the money manager. Friday, we post for the risk and safety, you know, an expert in insurance. So how does this actually come down? How does this actually work to fill these interim positions? Well, if you do what I just said, then in week one, you will more than likely interview enough candidates that you will find one that you can hire, and you explain to them, you know, I am in the process of filling five subject matter expert roles. However, I've got lots of candidates that I need to interview. And so I am seeking right now an interim subject matter expert to fill the spot and to hold that spot warm until we can interview all the candidates and make a final decision on filling the permanent vacancy. And these people that you're interviewing, you let them know that it's an interim position, but you also say, and oh, by the way, would you be interested in throwing your hat in the ring and being considered for the permanent role as well? And believe it or not, some will say no. If you found an expert that's technically competent on Upwork, these are freelancers. Very often, they don't want a full-time gig. They are freelance. So they're not going to throw their hat in the ring to fill, you know, the permanent vacancy. But let's say week one, you fill the first two, financial planning and tax, because you did them in that order and you interviewed them in that order. Then that means you've got a lot of candidates coming in week two, and you fill out the team in week two. You bring on an interim estate planning subject matter expert, you bring on an interim money management subject matter expert, and you bring on an interim insurance subject matter expert. And what are they going to be doing? Well, when a client says yes, you're going to have the financial planning subject matter expert create something that we call a written, we ask the financial planner, I need you to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial planning document for this client who's paid us $10,000. Okay. Mr. Tax Accountant, what do you expect from that one? Well, I expect you to create a comprehensive written lifetime tax planning strategy. Okay. So an entire plan just on tax. I asked the estate lawyer to create a comprehensive written lifetime estate planning strategy. I asked the money manager to create a comprehensive written lifetime money management strategy. And I asked the risk safety insurance expert to create a comprehensive written lifetime plan to increase the risk and safety of this client's overarching strategy. So that's what we're going to ask them to do. And so now here you are, flash forward, you've got an effective administrative manager in place. Now that means that in a week or two, you can fill all five subject matter expert vacancies with an interim subject matter expert. Now they are in place. You're up and running. You're accepting ideal clients. Now you can focus your administrative manager on going back, filling these positions one by one, but investing the time that's required, the 30 to 60 days that it's going to take to fill each of five subject matter expert roles. So this may still sound a little foggy to you as though, well, if I've got five interims, why don't I just work with that? Why do I need to go through this whole two-stage process of putting an interim team in place only to then buy me time to go interview more candidates to find the perfect candidate? You know, like, why not just stick with, you know, if they're technically competent, my interim SMEs, why not just stick with that? Well, because there are actually two criteria that you're looking for your permanent SME roles. The first criteria is, of course, you want a candidate that is, I say, highly technically competent. I've been told that's redundant, but you know, when I say technically competent, some advisors seem to say that's not enough. So, okay, highly technically competent. How about skilled? Let's work with that. They've got to know what they're doing. They have to be, I'm just going to call it, technically competent. All right. So this, what's the second criteria? They have to know how to impress ideal clients. They have to know how to knock a client's socks off. Our goal is to consistently exceed client expectations. So they have to know already before they join the team how to do that, how to, if they've got a client, they've got to know how to impress or exceed that client's expectations. So imagine that you have a team that's filled with people that not only are technically competent, but they also know how to knock a client's socks off. All right. Well, if those are the two criteria, let me tell you this. If you interview 50 candidates, 50, in any of these fields, tax, money management, financial planning, estate planning, the risk and safety expert that I'm talking about. Well, if you interview 50, you're going to find 45 that are technically competent. So there are a ton of highly technically competent, skilled subject matter experts out there. There are tons of them that are competent at a high level. But you add that second criteria, they also know how to impress clients. You're going to only find out of 50 candidates, one, maybe two, that are both technically competent and know how to impress a client. Okay, why is that? Well, I don't know, but one thing that will knock your socks off as you get into this process with us is as you interview a lot of subject matter experts and you start asking subject matter experts, you know, do you impress your clients? Is it your goal to impress your clients? What is your objective with your clients? our objective is to consistently exceed our clients' expectations. Well, what is it that your objective is with your clients? And so when you start asking those kind of questions, you're going to find out one thing really, really quick. A large chunk of subject matter experts out there, in other words, a large number of professionals, don't even have it as their goal to impress clients. They don't even know why you would want to. You're going to start to realize that most subject matter experts, no matter how technically competent they are, they really don't have any sort of a business model around exceeding client expectations. You know, they figure they are above average competence. They are highly technically competent. So they think that's their product. You know, you want a top client, an A player in tax. Well, you know, they charge accordingly. They charge more than the average, like not just. So when I say technically competent, I mean, not just your average accountant, not just your average money manager. If you want to be mediocre, go somewhere else. I'm talking about top notch. If you want technical competence, like highly technically competent, what I'm calling skilled, I'm talking about above average skill. Well, they think that's the service, whereas only a handful out of 50 of any of these professionals, out of 50, maybe one, possibly two out of 50, they've cracked the code. They realize it's not enough to be just technically competent. You have to knock your socks off. Or put another way, if you set it as your goal to impress your clients, in other words, to exceed your clients' expectations, well, then you're going to get referrals. That's who gets referrals. People who know what they're doing, they're technically competent, and they knock their clients' socks off. Why? Because clients who are impressed can't help themselves. They go out and they tell their friends about their tax accountant who knocks their client, that knocks their socks off. You know, you'll never believe what my tax accountant did for me. And all their friends go, wow, I wish my accountant did that. You know, so the two criteria are technically competent and they know how to impress clients. So back up to this will clear the fog 100% for you. So why do we go in early and just spend a week or two finding interim subject matter experts? It's because we release the interim subject matter experts from this number two criteria. If they don't know how to impress clients, that's okay. We'll hire them anyway, but only on an interim basis. So yeah, I'm not going to hire an average accountant, but I am going to hire on an interim basis if they're above average, if they're highly technically competent, if they're skilled. Well, okay, maybe they don't know how to impress clients, but they'll work for me for now. That's what I need immediately. I need technical competence. Thankfully, out of every 50 that you interview, you will find 45 that, you know, well, I mean, if your standard is above average, figure, you know, out of every two, you'll find one that's above average, you know, because that's the average, you know, half. So I guess what I'm saying is you can filter your search so that if your administrative manager is good and they are sifting through the candidates that respond to the interim, they can eliminate the below average SMEs, so that you're pretty much only interviewing the highly technically competent ones, you know, with whatever they provide you, you know, on these job boards. You'll typically get a CV. But from my perspective, I can often look at a LinkedIn profile and their website, and I can tell if they're above average or not. So yeah, my administrative manager hands me a list of candidates to interview for tax or financial planning, whatever the SME I'm hiring for today, you know, but I'll look them over before I just pick up the phone and call them. I'll look at their LinkedIn profile. I'll look at their website. And, Yeah, I'll make my own opinion. Thank you very much. My goal is I only want technically competent people. And we can usually tell by looking at the LinkedIn profile and the website. And certainly if I then call them up and it's just to schedule an interview. So the first call is from the advisor, because remember I said the advisor does all the talking to the candidates. The administrative manager doesn't do the talking with the candidates. It's important that the advisor be the one to call to schedule the initial discovery meeting, the initial interview, because why? Because only you can eliminate them. And what if I were to tell you that when you call candidates, just in the call that you initiate, your initial reach out call to schedule, like to tell them you'd like to interview them, before you schedule that interview, just the call to schedule the interview, you can eliminate 30 to 40% of the candidates. So you don't have to bother with the interview. Okay. So your administrative manager manages the project. They tee it up for you with lots of candidates that they think are above average. You go through your vetting. You look at their website. You look at their LinkedIn profile, whatever else you want to look at. And you narrow the field down and you only interview the ones that you want to. But even then, you're going to call them up to schedule the interview, not your administrative person, because you're going to eliminate at least a third of them on that initial call to schedule the interview. Well, they don't know that you're calling to schedule the interview. For all they know, this is the interview. You know, they've responded to a job board for an interim position that you're advertising. You've got some freelance work for them. For all they know, this is the interview. But when you say you had a couple of quick questions first, then they'll answer your questions. And I'm telling you, on that first call, you can eliminate, you know, 30, 40% of the candidates right then and there as not being technically competent. So do you believe me now? Now you can fill the interim positions in a week or two, because you're not looking for the criteria that's actually hard to find. That's a professional that actually knows how to impress clients. No, you're just looking for a highly technically competent, skilled professional. Now that you've got your interim team in place, now this is again on step three. Step three is to have your administrative manager manage the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process and take the 30 to 60 days that it's going to take to actually interview 50 to 100 candidates, so that in the end, you don't just hire the first, you know, you don't fill the permanent vacancy with the first good person that comes along. No, what you do is you interview. And I'm not telling you to interview 50. I'm just saying this is what it'll probably end up being. Just expect that if you interview 50, you're only going to have one candidate. And if your goal, like me, is not to just hire the first good looking thing that comes along, I'd rather have at least two or three that I would be willing to hire any of them, you know. And if your goal, like me, is to have two or three candidates, you just get used to it. You're going to have to interview probably 100 candidates to find two or three. So that takes a while. That takes 30 to 60 days to get all those interviews onto your schedule and to get through that process. So here are the three steps, Bill Bachrach. First three steps out of the chute: hire an effective administrative manager that can help you fill these subject matter expert vacancies. Second, the AM, then, now that you have the AM in place, they fill all five interim SME roles in 2 weeks. Why? By posting on job boards and filling your schedule, the advisor's schedule, with interviews with, you know, 5 or 10, however many candidates you need to interview to find one technically competent person that can fill that role and hold the seat warm until the permanent vacancy is filled. But the good news is you'll be able to say yes to ideal clients, and you'll have all five SME roles filled 2 weeks from now. And then third, that buys time. Now that you've got an interim team in place, then you can have your hold your administrative manager responsible for filling the permanent SME roles pausing one at a time. Let's fill financial planner first. Let's fill tax second. You know, we have a recommended sequence, but you can fill them in whatever order you want. I mean, if you're adding a new SME every 30 days, I mean, let me tell you this, even if you have existing clients and these SMEs are taking over for the interim SMEs, you're going to be adding a new subject matter expert faster than your clients can get their heads around it. They're going to be impressed with the new team members coming on board. And what do you tell them about the interim? You tell them up front that these are interim subject matter experts, and they've been kind enough to fill in, you know, until you find exactly what you're looking for. In other words, the subject matter experts that your clients deserve. Okay. So I'm going to go through the benefits of the model. Let's see. We have one. Let's see. I thought we had a, let's see. I'm trying to see if there is a question. Oh yeah, sure. Let me, well, if you go, okay. So the question is, can you share, or do you know the specific month topic name of session, please? Thank you. I believe it's the fifth module. But you can confirm that with me if you want to. If you have the Advisor Pack monthly program up and running right now, then you go to the, if you click on help, there's FAQs. Somewhere on there, you can find the frequently asked questions. And there is a list of all the modules. There's a list of the first 15 modules in sequence. Okay. And you can go check for me. I think it's module number 5, but it doesn't matter what module it is. When you've got your administrative manager in place that's capable of managing that process, let us know. We will send that module to you out of order. The module is called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. So at any point, once you have your administrative manager in place and you're ready for that 12-step deliverables team recruitment process, so you can start, you know, filling the permanent vacancies, you know, then we will send it to you, even if it's coming out of order. So that's fine. You just request it and we'll get it to you. But don't bother doing that until you've got all 5 interim subject matter experts filled. So, you know, the better question would be, you know, what have you done to fill the interim SMEs? And do you have all 5 filled? If you do, then great. Just let us know and we'll be happy to send you that module. Okay, so those are the 3 steps, like immediate steps right out of the gate. Those are the first 3 things you do. How long does it take to find an administrative manager? Somebody's asking. Well, it could take a couple of weeks. It depends on what your process is. You have those same job boards available. Andrew's asking which recording of the financial plan. You're going to have to go hunt for it, Andrew. Go into the search function in the Advisor Pack Monthly and search for financial plan, and it should come up. If it'll tell you which webinar we walked through all of that, and if it doesn't, just submit a ticket like you have in the past. Submit a ticket to our team and our team will send you the link. We'll find it for you. But it should be easy to find. We've covered it 2 or 3 times in past webinars. And I mean, we've gone 2 or 3 times step by step through the entire, what does a well-designed plan that's worth $10,000 actually look like? I've gone through it at least 3 times. So search for. The other thing that you can search for and see if it comes up is write these words down exactly the way I say them, because this is what we call a financial plan. It's comprehensive, written, lifetime financial strategy. So comprehensive, written, lifetime financial strategy, those 5 words. If you keep those in order, well, that's what I call a financial plan to my client. You will never hear me use the term financial plan. You'll never hear those 2 words together used in front of a client. Why? Because first of all, there is no definition of a well-designed financial plan. Even the college, even in the CFP program, there's not a, you know, here's what a financial plan that's well-designed looks like. There is no standard for this. And so therefore, you tell a client, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to create a financial plan for you. And they're going to say what? They're going to say, oh yeah, I paid $3,000 to Ameriprise a few years back for one of those. Hang on. I think I've got it here somewhere in my files. Give me a second. Here it is. A $3,000 financial plan. Got it. No. We're not talking about a $3,000 financial plan or Money Guide Pro. You know, you paid $4,000 and somebody hit print on Money Guide Pro and you got this 200-page report with all these beautiful graphs. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. I do shortcut it. So for existing clients, I call it their overarching plan. So we do create that. But if you're searching for our content in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, if you search for comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, those five words, you should be able to find the webinars where we have walked through that. Okay. So what are the benefits of these three steps? Well, let's go through them. Like, why would you do the model the way we're talking about? Because it's hard. I mean, not every advisor wants to follow the Advisor Pact model. I mean, we talked about this in the dojo. If you attended the dojo, I spent quite a bit of time saying, I just assume every advisor's like me and they want to provide, you know, Four Seasons level or Nordstrom's level, you know, the high, whatever your metaphor is for extraordinary, you know, positively outrageous client service. I assume every advisor's goal is my goal, which is extraordinary client service. But it's hard. I mean, to resolve that that's what you're going to do means that you're going to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to build systems and processes. You're going to hire people that are not average. You're going to tell them, if you're average, you go do that somewhere else. I am only bringing people on our team that are high performance and are capable and willing and able to deliver extraordinary levels of client service, like going way above and beyond what the average, you know, financial advisor delivers. So it's hard. Not everybody wants to do what we're doing here and talking about. So what are the benefits? Well, the benefits of these first three steps in the way that I'm laying them out is you can accept ideal clients immediately. If you were confident that you would have a highly technically competent financial planner and tax accountant in place this time next week, you could accept an ideal client immediately. And on top of that, if you were confident that 2 weeks from now, you'd have all five SMEs in place on an interim basis, well, you could accept the client today. I mean, when I sit down with a client and my client acquisition process is the financial roadmap, that's Bill Bachrach's financial roadmap. So that's the first meeting I have with every client. Now, most of you, it's the same thing, but I will tell you that at least a third of you that are in this program have never heard of Bill Bachrach. You never heard of the financial roadmap. So you've got some other client acquisition process. But for me, and whatever your client acquisition process is, if I conducted a financial roadmap today with a brand new client, person I never met before, I could, if they fit the ideal client profile, and I wanted to invite them into the ideal client community, if I were confident that I would have my team, my interim team in place within the next 2 weeks, I would accept them as a client today. Why? Because in our three meeting process, and that's in this program, in the process that we recommend, the next meeting is 14 days from now. That's 2 weeks. So, and we don't deliver anything over that first 2 weeks. What we use the first 2 weeks for after saying yes to an ideal client is finish gathering all their documents. So in our process, the financial roadmap experience, the client brings all their documents to the initial client interview. Okay, great. But I can tell you, there's always missing something. So even clients with the best intentions, there's always a handful of things they're missing. So we use the first 2 weeks and we tell the client this. Let's go through the checklist of everything that you've got. I mean, that means your not only your insurance statements, but your insurance policies, not only your 401k statement, but your 401k plan, you know, and all your benefits plans at work. And I need your statements going back as far as you've got them. I mean, if you've got them going back a year, that's the best, you know. And if not, I'll spend the next 2 weeks seeing if I can fill the gaps of whatever you're missing, even if we have to write to the company to get replacements on policies or something. So I'm saying you can say yes to a client today because the first 2 weeks has nothing to do with the SMEs anyway. Okay. So that's a benefit of our model. You can start taking ideal clients immediately. Second benefit is the administrative manager is responsible for filling SME vacancies. I mean, as many times as I say this in our program, how many of you on this session, you still thought it was your job as trusted advisor to fill these SME vacancies? And is that what's slowing you down? It's like, oh my gosh, I'd be so much further along if I had first hired an administrative manager who is there. They are responsible for managing the process, making sure that there are candidates for me to interview. You know, how many of you, if you're being honest, say, you know, I really haven't let loose of that. I thought it was the trusted advisor's job to fill the vacancies for the SMEs. No, it's your job to interview them. It's your administrative manager's job to manage the process and to get you on the schedule, to get you on the phone scheduling these interviews. And so it takes big chunks and blocks of time on your calendar. Yes. But it's the administrative manager who's holding you accountable to sitting down and getting on the phone and getting all that done. Okay. So the administrative manager is responsible, not you. That means more will get done and your vacancies will get filled quicker. And the third benefit of our model is we recommend that you make your five subject matter experts responsible for 100% of the client service. So let's think about this. Now you have to coordinate with the client's financial people. You've got a tax expert, a money management expert, a financial planning expert, a legal expert, and a risk safety insurance expert that are not you. In other words, they will coordinate with the client and deliver 100% of the value that the client perceives as the service from you and your firm. And they will coordinate with the client's financial people. So what are you doing? You're coming in and facilitating client progress meetings. But even then, if these five SMEs have action items and recommendations for the client that they have prepared prior to a client progress meeting, I'll have my SMEs come into the actual client progress meeting and I'll tell them, look, I'm going to give you 5 or 10 minutes to present your recommendation to the client yourself. You know, I could present it for you, but I'd rather our clients see how deep our bench is. I'd rather you come in for 10 minutes during a 1 hour client progress meeting and just tell them what you're recommending. And then if they have questions, you're there as a subject matter expert to answer the questions. And then when they understand and they don't have any more questions, you're out of there. So you don't have to spend an hour with this client every 4 months. You just come in, make your recommendation, leave. Okay. So even in the client progress meetings, I'm sort of the facilitator, but I'm mainly just bringing up each of the subject matter experts up onto the screen. So if it's a physical meeting in my office, there I am with the client in the boardroom or in the meeting room. And up on the wall, I've got a big screen TV. And when the time comes, I'll pull up I bring them in on Zoom. I just pull up the big screen, get my subject matter expert who's sitting at their desk doing their work, but I pull them away from their work for 10 minutes. And there they are up on the screen, talking to the client, making the recommendation that they prepared for the client, answering the client's questions. Boom, 10 minutes later, they're out of there. And then I move to the next subject matter expert. So then let's say the estate planning SME comes up and they spend 5 or 10 minutes making the recommendation, answering the client's questions, then they're gone. And then the third SME comes in with their recommendation and so forth. So what is my role? You tell me. All I can say is, if you take my advice and you delegate 100% of client service to these five SMEs, then it allows you to focus on your two highest payoff activities. And those are, yes, serving clients, but mainly you serve your clients by holding your subject matter experts accountable to a high level of client satisfaction. In other words, you specifically filled those permanent vacancies with five professionals that already know how to exceed client expectations. So what time do you spend with them other than just holding them accountable to providing that level of service that they know how to provide, which is they know how to impress clients. Now go ahead, impress them. You hold them accountable to impressing all your clients. And then that also frees you up to go out and find your next ideal client, which we've talked about that at quite a bit in this program as well. This program is about client service, not about client acquisition. But as we've talked, because people ask me, advisors ask me, Mark, how much time did you spend on client acquisition? And I will tell you, it was at least half my week. So if you're putting in 40 hours a week, then a minimum of 20 hours of that should be invested finding your next ideal client. Where did I get that ratio from? Well, I actually felt guilty for many, many years about that ratio because I heard Jack Welch one time in a speech. He said that the job of any CEO, and let's face it, you are the CEO of your business there. Jack Welch said every CEO should be investing 95% of their time on generating new revenue. Okay. Well, in our type of business, that means client acquisition activities. So new revenue generation comes from new clients, and so in our business. So I always felt guilty. Jack Welch won't hire anybody. He wouldn't hire anybody at GE and to be CEO of any of his divisions if he didn't already know that they would be investing 95% of that CEO's time generating new revenue. Well, I thought I should be investing 95% of my time on new business revenue. And if you were, by the way, if you were delegating 100% of client service, then you would be able to meet Jack Welch's standard and you could invest 95% of your time on client acquisition if you wanted to. I mean, think how fast you'd grow. But why? Well, you have to ask yourself, why aren't you? Why aren't you spending, forget 95%, are you currently spending at least half of your hours each week on client acquisition activities like I did? Well, the answer to the question is, you can, if you delegate 100% of client service to these five highly skilled individuals, and then you just facilitate the meeting and bring them in to make their own recommendations. Look, the client will value you above all because you're the person that pulled all this together for them. You're the one that took the trouble to go out and find all these, you know, 1 in 100 subject matter experts that actually know how to impress clients. It basically frees you up to just hold your SMEs and your team accountable to your standard of service and to go out and find new clients. And that's the biggest benefit. So if you have questions that you'd like me to ask, or like me to answer. Let's see, I'm actually looking. Great. Okay. So I think we got everybody squared away for today. If you have questions for me, I'm not talking about, you know, you need the deliverables team recruitment module. No, those are technical things. Like if you need something from the Advisor Pack monthly program, just click the contact us link and you can type in a little message to, but that will be read by my team, not me. So if you type out a message, that just know it in advance, that's fine. It's just, it's going to my team, not me. If you have a question for me, when you pull up that contact us that you'll find on the every, that you'll find on every page of the Advisor Pack monthly program, you will find a link to leave a message for Mark. And that is the only way to get a message to me. You click on that link, it'll take you right here. You'll see a picture of me. It'll have a big button that says start recording. And you just make sure you have a microphone hooked up to your computer, or you can do it from your mobile device, your phone, and just leave your question. Explain it to me. What is it? You know, what's your biggest obstacle? What's the biggest thing standing between you and implementing all this? If you have a question for me, leave me a message. And that's the way to get messages through to me. I take those questions and I create the content for this monthly session. And so that's it for this month. As always, I wish you all the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.